someone who's clean with a dirty mind. Downtown, all around, take me on a Jenny ride. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 105. It took me a second to, remember what episode it is. 105. Okay. 105 or 105, whichever you prefer.
105. I have been having these weird, like, back things.
Yeah.
I tried multiple things. I went to the massage therapist to try to, because I had some Burke Williams gift certificate still.
Which is a spa. It's a spa. It's lovely.
Just, I wish that I had the patience to stay there all day long. I just don't. I run out of patience, and I just am like, okay, I'm done sitting in the jacuzzi. But, I went and I sat in the hot tub, and I got the massage, and she used the hot stones and tried to work out the muscle spasm. She told me it was a muscle spasm. I didn't know what it was. And then I went back, and she said, okay, so if you can, go to the dry sauna and lay your bare skin, because the women in, I don't know what men do, but in the women's spas, women just walk around naked. Like, there's a couple of women usually you'll see with bathing suits on, and then those people make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm a naked
girl. Everyone's
walking
around naked, and then all of a sudden you see like two women walk by in bathing suits, and you go, oh, what's wrong with being naked? What are you ashamed of? And then all of a sudden you feel like not embarrassed, but I have like a brief moment of, God, should I? No, fuck them. Everyone else is naked.
I'm naked.
So, but it's always awkward when that one woman in the bathing suit gets into the hot tub when you're in there naked. It's like that awkward moment. But she said,
that just makes me want to just lean back and like put my arms up on the side.
Lift one of your legs up.
Yep, drawing out. Do a Sharon Stone right there. All
prop a leg. Yeah, prop a leg up. Let one of your boobies float to the top. So she said, like a soup. Just let them kind of like, just let them just float on the top of the water.
Yeah.
So then she said, go into the dry sauna. Because there's, if you haven't been to a spa, there's the wet sauna where there's the stones and you put the water on them and there's really steam. There's a lot of steam. And the moment you walk in, all of a sudden you have like an afro and it's, super steamy. But the dry sauna is the stones, but it just emanates heat. Very, very dry, like Sahara Desert dry. There's no moisture in there at all. So she said, go into the dry sauna. And if you can, if there's, enough room, take your towel off. You don't lay your towel over the top of you if you're uncomfortable, but lay your skin on the hot wood. Like your skin needs to be, your back needs to be directly against the hot wood and lay in there for a little bit. Okay. So I go down there, and I walk over, and it's really small.
Mm-hmm.
The dry sauna is like, it's got a step up. There's a little bench where you can kind of step up to a higher bench, and then there's a lower bench. And both of them, maybe, if you're sitting, like, right up next to the person next to you, you could fit maybe three people on each of those benches.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little box. It's a little hot box. And there were two women sitting up on the top bench, and there was one woman who was, like you, very just comfortable and, like, spreading it out on the bottom bench. And I thought, okay, well, that's clearly not going to happen. So I kind of hovered a little bit trying to see the two women. The one woman who was like you, just, flying free, she was in her zone. She was just having a moment. She was in her zone. She had a washcloth over her head. She was just like, so I thought, that woman's in there for the long haul. She's not going anywhere. But the other two women were all chit-chatty. And so I thought, they're gonna tire themselves out. So I waited it out, and they left. So I went in and did the whole thing, and I laid down, and it's so awkward because it's really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But that, if you've ever been in one of those, like, the wood is super creaky.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to get settled, and I'm in there, and I'm like, oh shit, I was supposed to leave my robe on the hook out. Oh well, it's in here now. So because I was like disrobing and I had my shoes on still, I was making so much noise. I was one of those really annoying people. I might as well have just like let one rip just because.
Yeah,
I
and she was probably like, could you fucking make up your mind what you're doing?
Just settle. Yeah. So, but it was good. It was good. It didn't do a dick for my back. It didn't, I did the deep tissue and she said, give it a couple of days, nothing. So I had to go to the acupuncturist yesterday.
Yeah.
And, I told you about him. I went to him before. He did the freaky, hovering his hands over your body.
Yes.
What's going on? So he wasn't going to do it. He was just going to go straight to the back issue. And I said, could you do the thing? I need to know if I'm still having some stomach issues. Can you? Oh, yeah, sure. But then Thankfully, this time, he just rolled me on my side, you know, stuck needles all down my spine, and an hour later, I felt considerably better. Of course, I worked out this morning, and now my back is tweaked again, but I felt considerably better after getting poked like a pincushion.
Yes.
That shit works, man. I'm sorry. Oh, that shit works.
I know. It opens up your energy, your meridians, and your ki.
I know there's people who don't believe in it, but it works.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that don't believe in a lot of things. So, and then there's people, you know, it's funny to me because it'll be funny because someone will be religious and believe in all the pablum that they give you from disseminate from the pulpit, but talk to me about acupuncture, they're like, no, oh no, no. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll believe in this fairy tale, but I'm not going to believe in that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or the whole, I never really thought about it this way, but I was talking to a girlfriend of mine about the whole pro-life, pro-choice thing, and a lot of it is religion-based, and she is adamantly against the whole pro-life thing, because she said, I don't know what, they need to call it something else. It's not pro-life. Because the people who generally are super religious and believe in, and don't believe in abortion, they have no problem with the death penalty. So it's very, you look at it and go, it's not really pro-life. You need to call it something else. Because if it was pro-life, all life would be, you know, what's the word?
Yeah, and then if you were pro-life, you might want to figure out where those babies go once they're born.
Right.
And who's feeding them.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just speaking to your whole, like, religious thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got from acupuncture to abortion, but yeah.
That's okay. it's a reasonable segue, Keek. I get it.
Right?
Yeah. So I was, speaking of religion, Easter Sunday. I was at the local Starbucks, and they have tables that they have high boys, you know, taller tables.
Yeah.
And then they have the shorter tables or couches or whatever your little local Starbucks has.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there having a tea with my cousin, and there was a lady in my line of sight who was at a high table, and she was wearing a dress that was above her knees.
Oh, did you get to see Coco? You got to, like, have a little tea and stare at her hooch?
I didn't. I wasn't in that direct line of sight, and there was a part of me that was like, I should go over there and let her know. It wasn't very crowded there, but I should go over and let her know that other people might be able to, because her legs aren't crossed, and maybe she's fine with it. And
yeah, I was just going to say, at that point, you can't go up to someone who clearly knows
she's
an adult, and she's wearing a short skirt, and she's sitting with her legs not crossed. She's got to know that she doesn't care, obviously, if people can see her hooch.
Now, she was a little bit of a thicker gal, so
maybe she couldn't cross her legs.
Well, she wasn't terribly thick, but what I'm saying is probably thick enough where her thighs probably touched, and seeing her underpants probably wasn't.
So maybe you couldn't see hooch because there.
Yeah, but so here's the question:
Too much
thigh. Would you have gone up to her and said something?
Fuck no. No. Oh my God, no.
Okay.
No.
Because I really
no,
had
it's
to.
Not, it's not like nip. I mean, people know. As a woman, you know. I tell my stepdaughters all the time, one of them outgrew dresses. She's not a dress girl anymore. The other one likes to wear dresses all the time, but she runs around and jumps around and sits with her legs open, and it's like, okay, sweet, sweet girl. If you're going to wear dresses and skirts, you have to, A, wear shorts underneath them, and also, even if you have on shorts, you have to sit like a lady. You cannot sit like a trucker. You can't sit with your crotch hanging for all the world to see, whether you have panties or shorts or not. I'm constantly telling her that women grow up knowing that if you don't cross your legs, you're going to be able to see up your skirt. So that's a choice. It's a different if there's a nip issue. If someone, like, if a button pops open and you've got, like, a bra a boob hanging out. Sorry, I'm drinking my drink and taking my vitamins, mm-hmm. and it makes me burpy. Mm-hmm. It's lovely, I know. If you've got boobage hanging out and you have, like, a half of your bra hanging out because your button came undone and you didn't notice, absolutely, I'd be like, ma'am, your button. Because obviously she couldn't tell. You can't tell. But with the underpants issue, women know. That's a choice. They know. It's not like if you go up to her and you go, oh, ma'am, you can see your underwear. Yeah?
Yeah, and it is underwear. It's not like it's her, unless she, I don't know if she was wearing underpants or not, but.
That's more of an etiquette thing where you're calling somebody out on their etiquette, and I would never call someone out on their etiquette.
Well, it depends on what your intention is. For me, it wasn't etiquette. I just didn't know she would be the type of person that would be embarrassed if she realized that other people, because let's put it this way.
It's total etiquette.
If the tables were normal height, if all the tables in the restaurant were the same height, then her underpants wouldn't be able to be seen because people's eye level wouldn't be there. So maybe she was remiss in understanding the height differential of the tables and didn't think about it.
Right. But the thing about it there is you run the risk of going up to someone and saying, oh, ma'am, you know, I think someone can see your underwear.
And
having her
be
like,
fuck
you, back off, bitch. Like, so, if I have underwear on.
Mind your business.
Mind your own business. Because you run the risk of calling somebody out on an etiquette issue. It might not be 50-50, maybe.
All right.
20-80. But you run the risk of calling somebody out on their etiquette, and I would never do that. I would just kind of gawk as well and look and be like, oh, my God, that woman's sitting like a trucker. Okay, that's lovely. Her mother did not teach her well.
My cousin's like, oh, you're so
young. Then you're schooling someone. And
I don't school
strangers. Yeah, Ruth. Ruth would have schooled her in a heartbeat.
Ruth, if Ruth had been sitting there, she would have gotten up, and she wouldn't have been discreet about it. She would have walked up to the table.
She would have grabbed her skirt and yanked it down.
she would have walked up to the table and been like, listen, I'm sitting across the room.
And I want to see your hooch.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah, so at least I'm discerning.
I don't want to see your hooch anymore. Could you cover that shit up? Put a napkin on it or something. But, I think that's my thing about it is whether or not there's a chance that there's an etiquette issue or that you could come across like you're schooling someone who needs to be schooled, you know, or taught, then, yeah, I would never do that. Because, yeah, there's a small chance that she might go, oh, my God, I didn't even realize.
Right,
a small chance.
I would be mortified.
There's a small chance. You would never sit like that in a skirt.
No, I wouldn't.
Would you ever sit like that?
Well, you know what? I don't wear skirts above my knee, mostly for that. I mean, like, one, I don't particularly.
No, I don't either. But if I was going to, then, yeah, I don't care if I'm
about that.
No, even when I'm at the office and we have desks facing each other, and sometimes I forget, is there a privacy thing? Sometimes the front of the, you know, I think one of the desks has the privacy thing on it, and one of them is kind of high.
Yeah.
So sometimes I forget and go, oh, my God, if I'm wearing something that even remotely could be like that, it's like, oh, I should cross my legs. Or even if there's a piece of wood there that, like, blocks it, it's still, I still sit like that. It's just the way you sit when you're in a skirt or when you're in something that, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Or if I'm not sitting like that because it's too hot and it's like, fuck, it's sweaty and I'm swampy down there. If your legs are apart, you tuck the skirt part in. You like sit with your legs at least somewhat closed, and you tuck the skirt part in. I mean, it's just, come on now.
All right, well.
Come on now, people.
Okay. Hey, listen, I wanted you to know that I've been following Sarah Folks, the teacher from Texas.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, because I'm doing it just for you. There's nothing new going on.
This is my problem with the news. This is my problem with the news. They drop these little salacious tidbits, and then they just, and then when it becomes not interesting anymore, they don't do any follow-up. So it's highly possible that this poor teacher was, it all got dropped, it was a, you know, thing, she was found innocent, and they're not going to, the news isn't interested in that. They're not interested in following back around and going, oh, by the way, that woman that we made look like a nasty, skanky, like, child pornographer whore, she wasn't. They won't go back and tell you that.
Which is, it's just unfortunate.
Brilliant.
And if she was a skanky pornographer whore,
for people who are false,
they're obviously not telling us that either.
I think they would follow up if she was a super skanky whore. Speaking of super skanky whore, and being like, whenever there's somebody famous who gets called out, like your Bill Cosby's, let's say,
and your Bill O'Reilly's,
well, that's where I was going, and they get called out like that. It's always, you know, the person kind of comes out and does the whole, listen, you'll understand when the truth comes out, and I'm a celebrity, and people will bandwagon on the celebrities, and they're out to get me, and I just don't know why. They have a voice. Bill O'Reilly has a voice because he's got a platform. Not anymore. I never liked Bill O'Reilly in the first place because his big fucking mouth is so annoying.
Yeah.
He says not stuff just to be incendiary, just to be, you know.
Yeah, not a fan.
But, and he's way too liberal, and but he's just as rude.
Way too liberal.
I mean, sorry, conservative. Way too conservative. And he's just really rude.
Yeah.
He's rude to his guests. He's rude, you know, and that whole, like, oh, I'm like that to everybody. That kind of bullshit doesn't fly. It's like, no, rude is rude. Rude is just rude, honey.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely that part of America, I'm sure, that goes, yeah, fuck you, Bill O'Reilly. It's about time you got your comeuppance. And there's a small part of me that says that, too. But there's also the other side of you that goes, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a tough call. He has a platform to be able to speak and to for people to go, oh, that's so awful. Poor Bill O'Reilly. Like, people just go after the rich. They want to take him down. But it sucks that there's even a possibility that somebody could cry wolf and destroy someone's career. You know, that's what there's a show, I think, on one of the streaming outlets, Hulu or Netflix, and I forgot what it's called, but there's a show that's about that very thing. A husband and a wife, the husband's a personality, somebody claimed, you know, and the show, as the show unfolds, you don't know. He's they show clips. I've only seen the clips in the previews where they show clips where it's
If you come across it, I'd be curious because that's actually an interesting kind of
topic. He's talking to his wife and saying, you know, I didn't do this. And I think it's one of those shows where it's like Secrets and Lies. If you ever watched the first season of Secrets and Lies, where you don't really know whether the person – Secrets and Lies was all about the first season was all about the – like the Scott Petersons, you know, where you don't know whether this guy is like vilified by the public in the news and everyone hates him, but you don't really know whether he killed the little kid or not. You don't know.
Right.
You don't find out until the very end of the season. But with these, unfortunately, we never find out. You never know whether Bill Cosby was really a lech or whether Bill O'Reilly is really a perv. Although, you know, you hear the other woman and you hear what she's got to say and you kind of go.
There's several,
but there's only one who really is out there. And it's tough. It's a tough call because she was not an employee. She was just a contributor. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, so there's an argument to be had for like, listen, we go through contributors. We don't like, there wasn't anything on it. But, you know, when you listen to her story, have you listened to her speak?
No, I could care less really about.
Well, it's a gray area and not. There's parts of it that are a gray area. It wasn't like grab ass. You know, it wasn't like Megyn Kelly. Not Megyn Kelly. Who was the other woman who took down the head of Fox?
I don't remember.
Well, hers was...
Ailes or whatever his name
was. Yeah, hers was blatant. This one is very, you know, they had a meeting at a bar. It was a hotel bar. I don't know if they were out of town. They must have been out of town because I think Bill O'Reilly was staying in the hotel. She's a contributor. You know, on those news shows, on his show, they have, or, you know, anybody's, Jon Stewart's, whatever, they have people come in and they do the split screen or they'll come in and they'll interview people and they give their opinions. I forgot what her specific expertise is. But they had a meeting because he was like, you could go places, you're amazing, you know, and you can, let's talk about your career, let's talk about...
You're a young upstart, you can...
Right. So... Then they finish having drinks, and they were somewhere, and they were somewhere in the hotel. It wasn't in the bar, and they were finishing, and they were going to go talk about it. Let's go talk about it some more. So she goes, they're walking down the hallway, and she goes to turn towards where the bar is, and he turns towards where the rooms are. And she says, you know, we're not in high school anymore. I'm just going to say, like, let's go to the bar and have a drink. And he said, oh, don't be ridiculous. You know, let's go up to my room. We'll have a drink in my room. And she basically was like, no, I'm not really comfortable with that. Let's just go to the bar. So they go to the bar and they continue their conversation. But according to her, the conversation took a decidedly downward turn. He was rude. He was dismissive of her. He made, like, derogatory comments about her. Her purse was ugly. Her, you know, her career all of a sudden wasn't really necessarily going to go anywhere. And you look at it and go, right, he definitely has an argument for saying, I didn't say she had to fuck me. I just said, let's go out. Like, maybe he had a big suite and the bedroom was in a different area and he wanted to drink in the bar. But that being said, whether he was doing anything lascivious, he's a fucking child to say, okay, I would rather not, though. It makes me more comfortable to have a drink with you in the bar. All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
But to be a child and say, well, you didn't give me what I wanted. You didn't give me my way. I didn't want to have sex with you. I just wanted to sit on the couch in my room and have a drink, and you didn't give me what I wanted. So now I'm going to be rude to you and say, oh, yeah, good luck with that career of yours. And then after that, he was extremely rude to her in the studio.
Mm.
And two segments later, she was gone. And he would say things to her like, you're still here? When are you leaving?
Oh, my gosh.
And then, like, two segments later, she was gone.
Huh.
So, it's a, you know, there's a part of you that's like, it's a gray area because, okay, yeah, he was rude to you. He rebuffed you. But she wasn't an employee. She was a, you know, there's an right. argument to be had for, yeah, you were a correspondent. We move on. We moved on.
Hmm.
I don't know what the other woman said.
No, I don't.
But it's just the whole, like, I don't know.
There's not, you know what? There's something to be said when you... Okay, so this goes back to the Casey Affleck thing.
Oh, yeah,
I was just going to say there's something to be said about paying people off.
I found some Casey Affleck selection.
What?
Siri, please fuck off. I didn't even ask you to do anything.
Mine has been doing that a lot lately, too, where you'll just be talking, and all of a sudden Siri will turn itself off, which makes
me... Big brother.
Really...
No, I actually hit that. I hit the button because I was trying to do something else. But so... You know, you had said, like, you had kind of said, well, he's guilty because he paid her off.
No, I didn't say that he was guilty because he paid her off. I said that it happens. Sometimes people just want it to go away.
Right.
And so they'll pay. So my point was, you never know. I didn't necessarily assume guilt. I said you never know because a payoff doesn't necessarily mean guilt. It means I don't want a trial. I don't want any more vilification in the
process. I agree. And so that's... You know, so in this particular instance, Bill O'Reilly already had enough going on with other claims or whatnot. I mean, $13 million is a lot of money to pay. I'm sure they didn't pay that out to just those two women, right? There were probably others.
Because that was the story, is that over the years that they've paid out $13 million on claims, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am a little surprised that they shit canned his ass as quickly as they did, being the fact that he is the face of Fox News and he's the most popular show on that network. Because whether you lose sponsors or not, who fucking cares? People lose sponsors all the time and they end up coming back from it. Networks usually don't care about losing sponsors. I mean, he lost a bunch of sponsors, but then over time, he'll end up getting them back. It's a really popular show. I do not think that it would have affected the popularity of his show one bit, sadly. I don't think it would have affected the popularity of his show one bit. I think, if anything, it would have made it more popular for a period of time because people love to, like, see what's
going to say,
what's going to do.
Yeah, but I think, unfortunately, I mean, I think that from the whole, you know, Richard Ailes, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, right?
I don't think it's Richard. I think it's something Ailes. Something else.
Well, that dude.
Yeah.
It's probably too close on the heels, and they're just like, we're being besmirched as this, like, sexual harassment thing. So,
well, word on the street, the rumor mill has it that it wasn't Rupert Murdoch, it was his sons. Rupert Murdoch actually, I think, was in, and again, I could be completely making this up, but from what the gossip was, Rupert Murdoch
fake
was...
Fake news! Fake news on the Dirk and Keith shows!
Fake news alert. That Rupert Murdoch actually was a champion of Bill O'Reilly's. I don't know whether he was in this instance, but in the past he'd been a champion of Bill O'Reilly's, but his sons are a little more liberal and were very adamant about wanting him gone.
Well,
and I think it was the
sons. Want. Bye, Bill.
Bye, Bill.
Okay,
bye, Felicia.
Do you where did that reference come from?
I have no idea. And can I tell you that when people first started saying that, I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, I still don't know what the fuck they're talking about. What is it? What's the reference?
I think it started in the gay community, and because it was there, bye, Felicia. But it started, I believe, in the gay community, and it was one of those, like, bye, fuck off. It's very much like a fuck you, get the fuck out, is when you say that's the reference. When you say bye, Felicia, to somebody, it's like, you know, bye, Bill O'Reilly, good luck to you. Bye, Felicia, get out. We won't miss you.
Okay.
I believe that's where that comes from.
I just looked it up.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do on this show. by Felicia, when someone says that they're leaving and you could really give two shits less if they are,
oh, that's right.
Their name then becomes Felicia, a random bitch that nobody is sad to see go. Their real name becomes irrelevant because nobody cares what it really is.
I was instead, right.
They are
oh, my God, I knew something
Felicia.
Young and hip. I knew something young and hip. By Felicia to Bill mm-hmm. O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. When you have a moment of don't let the door hit you on the way out, that's a by Felicia
that's
moment.
Really, really.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, wait a
that's
second.
That's what by Felicia means.
And it's a line from the 1995 film Friday starring Ice Cube and Chris Tucker that is becoming increasingly popular for no reason. Just like twerking, it's been around and well established for many years, but has recently become more mainstream as white girls attempt to use it. Most often incorrectly and oblivious to its origin.
Oh, is it an African-American thing? I thought it was a gay thing.
Apparently. A goodbye given to any unwanted, irritating, or disliked person, starting as a reference to the character Felicia in the movie Friday. When she finally said, we all said, bye, Felicia. Okay.
I did not know that. I didn't know
it's more of a get the fuck out of here salutation because you want nothing to do with this girl.
I used it correctly. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Look at me. I'm all young and hip.
See, I just needed to know.
One to grow on.
Okay, so from the movie, in the movie, Felicia is a bum who asks her neighbor Craig if she can use their stuff.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Okay. Part. Well, so now, folks, if you really want to understand that even more, I guess you could rent the movie Friday with Chris.
Can I tell you? We can add a movie review segment. Speaking of movies,
yeah,
I just spit on myself. I have not seen any of the Fast and the Furious movies. None. Zero.
Neither have I.
Not really interested.
No. Mm-mm.
But my dude likes them. Oddly enough, my son does not, which is weird because he's 13. But we were going to go to the movies, and he wanted to see Fate of the Furious, which is Fast and the Furious 8, basically. And I said, all right, whatever. I haven't seen any of them. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you go to those summer blockbuster-type movies and you go, yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous kind of good time with a cheesy kind of, you know, simple script.
Sure.
So I go to this movie and I say to my son, because it's a Sunday afternoon, we're going to go grab lunch, go to a movie. Come on, you want to go see Fate of the Furious? I thought he was going to be like, yeah, but, nah, I'm good. What? Hey, with the fast cars, the movie with the no? Nah, it's not really, I've seen one of them, they're not really my thing. Oh, that should have been my first clue, that my 13-year-old son was not interested in going to a Fast and the Furious movie.
Wasn't that good?
So here's the thing. Wow. This movie is, and to its defense, I've only seen the one. And as we were leaving, my dude said that wasn't, like, there were other ones that were better. This one was, he also thought it was a little cheeseball, and he said that there are some of these movies that are better. They're on 8, so I'm sure they're getting a little thin and not really sure, running out of material.
And Paul Walker's dead.
And Paul Walker's dead.
Yeah.
But, which they didn't, now that I think about it, they didn't actually reference Paul Walker at all.
I think it happened
in 7. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to go back and watch one of the original ones, but I believe, you know, this was a Vin Diesel creation, and he writes them and produces them, or co-writes them, or whatever. Wow. I am shocked and a little bit appalled and really sad for us as artists that these are the movies that are making gajillions of dollars, that they keep making, even if they're schlock, because they make gajillions of dollars.
Right.
It was so, the script was so corny.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see the moments where normally in a summer blockbuster you'd go, oh, this is corny, but I'm loving it. You know, sometimes there's just like cheesy movies that it's corny, but you love it anyway. Wow. Like just, and Charlize Theron, come on.
Oh, she was in it?
Yes, and I saw an interview with her. She was really happy that like for once, they're casting a woman to play the big villain. Like, it's never the woman. And in my mind, I was thinking, really? Pretty sure there have been a lot of female villains. I think there have been, you're not the first female villain.
Just a few.
I'm pretty sure there have
been
a lot
of
female
villains. I mean, Cruella DeVille, quintessential villain.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much every single James Bond movie has some woman
yes.
that he's fighting or battling
yes.
or fucking him over. He's having
yes.
sex with her, and then she's
yes.
screaming. But I, she was even really bad.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And I don't think it was her. I was trying to really kind of look at it and go, she's a really good actress, Oscar winner, you know, the whole thing, multiple Oscar nominations. I really think it was more the writing than it was her acting. She was chewing up the scenery like there was no tomorrow. But yikes.
All right, so a big no for Fate of the Furious.
At one point, they were driving their fast cars. They brought them from somewhere to some sort of like icy Arctic area. Might have been Russia. I think they brought them to like Russia. Flew them there. Six cars, so each of them could drive their own fast car on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not super realistic that you would drive.
It's very compelling.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super compelling. Hmm. Super compelling.
You know what else is compelling?
What?
Tennis. You ever play tennis?
I used to when I was really little, and I think I was kind of okay at it. Mm-hmm. Tennis is one of those sports that in my mind, I feel like I could just pick up a racket and be good at. You ever have those sports where you're like, oh yeah, I could do that. I could totally do that. Mm-hmm. Tennis is kind of one of those, even though I know realistically I would probably look like an idiot and couldn't hit a ball to save my life. It looks like one of those sports that you could at least just not be, you know, Venus Williams, but you could just kind of like pick up a racket and at least be able to volley and have a game.
Okay.
Well, but I know that that's probably wildly unrealistic.
Well, it's popular and people like to watch it. And about a week ago at the Sarasota Open tennis match,
yeah,
kind of got a little nutty. So there's two dudes that are playing against each other. And all of a sudden, they start hearing these moaning noises. And
where's this?
In Sarasota.
Oh, everything. All the weird shit happens in Florida.
It does. It was a nighttime match. Let me see.
Popular match? Full stands?
No, I don't think it was a full stand. Now that the video is unavailable, let's see if I can get it.
Of course it is.
Here
sure
we
they
go.
Took it down.
Let's see. You know what? I bet they did. Hold on. Yeah, the video is now unavailable.
That's okay. You can tell me the story.
I can tell you the story. Mm-hmm. So I'll just read the little story.
Okay.
So Francis Tiafoe and Mitchell Krueger were playing this match. You could hear the sound of people having sex. The announcer kept his cool throughout and said it was an embarrassing situation caused by a phone randomly playing porn. So at first the announcer, because I did listen to it.
Having sex. There was someone who was just playing porn on their phone.
Well, that's what the announcer originally thought. It was like, oh, oh, oh. I mean, it was like echoing. It was echoing. But at some point, they realized that it wasn't, you know, they thought it was a prank. So they're kind of, the announcer's kind of like, oh, well, I wish someone would, you know, this is not appropriate, blah, blah, blah. They were, the court was in the middle of an apartment complex. And somebody.
Oh, shit. Somebody in an apartment, like, and it was just the perfect kind of.
Yes. So then this one guy, Francis Tiafoe, just got so, they were getting
turned on.
Oh. No, he got annoyed. He just screamed out. He's like, it can't be that good because this moaning is going on forever. And then it takes a break. So that's why at first they thought it was a porn thing because it went on for like a minute or two and then it stopped. And someone's like, oh, it must just be someone's phone or someone's porn or whatever. But it was so loud. And people are looking at each other. I mean, it was really funny to watch because everyone's not quite sure what this is. And then all of a sudden it starts again, and that's when this guy goes, it can't be that good. But it was so, like, everyone was so
Did it
awkward.
Stop after he yelled? Did they realize that they could,
no.
that everyone could hear them?
No. No.
Can I tell you that there was a time, have you ever had a time where you were like, oh, my God, we could have been heard?
They show a picture of this. It says that the lake... there's the tennis court and there's a lake, and it says, while the lake doesn't appear to be big, the fact that the broadcast was able to pick up the sounds from the sex means that whomever is living above, below, right, or left of them were, like, basically, like, very close.
Not only were they very close, but they were probably just in that perfect... You know how sometimes there's, like, a sound vortex? I used to live in this apartment. Or it wasn't an apartment. It was a triplex. So all these three units were next to each other.
Right.
And then across the we shared a driveway with the triplex across the way. So the triplexes didn't sit parallel to the street. They sat perpendicular to the street, and they went down the length of the driveway. So it was like triplex facing triplex with a driveway in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, there was a little kind of like very, very small kind of carport area that wasn't really for parking. It was mostly just an area to make it easy for you to pull into your garage, and also where you could kind of turn around a little. There was enough space to kind of turn around a little. And my bedroom window faced the carport area. And the neighbors that moved in, the Louds, I'm sure I talked about them at some point. They were so loud, loud talkers, loud. They party. They very inconsiderate of everybody around them. And they used to party and hang out in the garage. They turned their garage into like the hangout. So they would open the garage door, and they would have their friends over, and they would hang out and party. And there was something about, if I was in the kitchen, yeah, I could kind of hear him, not really. If I was in the living room and had the front door open, I could kind of hear him, not really, because my apartment was the one, obviously, at the very, very end. But if I was in my bedroom or my bathroom, I think it was actually better in the bathroom than the bedroom. If I was in the bathroom, there would be times where, I don't know what it was, it sounded like, and talking, not like, but just like, so yeah, I mean, what'd you do the other day, dude? Just talking to each other, because they would hang out there and they would just talk. I would be in my bathroom, and I swear to God, it would sound like someone was talking to me on the other side of the screen, the window from the screen.
Wow.
There was some sort of weird, like, sound tunnel where wherever they were and wherever, like, that window was, the sound just carried perfectly. It was bizarre. Mm-hmm. So maybe if it was a courtyard, there could have been some sort of weird, like, where the sound was just really good.
Oh, sure. They were in their apartment. They had their balcony window or door open.
Yeah, it was open. Uh-huh.
But holy cow. I mean, you still have to be loud. You still have to be loud enough that it's going to, like,
have you ever had loud sex?
Not that loud.
Well, you don't know. That's what I'm saying. You don't know how loud it is. It's not like they're screaming. It could have been like a weird sound vortex thing where they were being loud-ish, and yet the sound was just carrying
perfectly
down.
I don't think I've ever done it with the windows open.
Yeah, there was one time, I was going to say, there was one time where my dude and I, it was kind of when we were first started dating. He was living in this apartment complex, really nice, kind of expensive apartment complex, lots of apartments. And he was up on like a second floor, and we had like an overly adventurous evening, very, very fun, raucous evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then realized later that the screen door was open on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, shit. Because there's families, there's kids. I mean, it was at night. It wasn't during the day. It was like on a Friday or Saturday night. But still, he had that thing where, you know, for the whole next week when he was walking around the complex, he kept, you know, maybe he was being paranoid, but he kept imagining his neighbors, like, staring at him because he wasn't sure, like, if any of the neighbors heard.
Sure.
Or it's very embarrassing. Very embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've had any embarrassing sex stories. I may have to think about that and get
You've had tons of embarrassing sex stories. We've heard about a lot of them on this show, but I'm just talking about loud.
I have sex stories, but
no, I know what you mean. Just like loud or anything overly embarrassing.
I'm trying to think. I'll have to think about that. But the colonics are going well, everyone.
Oh my God, that's right, colonic. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How is that?
The first one was really painful because
painful.
Well, cramping. It was cramping.
Oh.
It is not. I will tell
before,
you.
Before, during, after?
During. So they lube up. So they lube up this tube that gets inserted into your bum hole.
How far up does it go?
Probably 3 or 4 inches.
Oh.
It goes past. Okay, so there's a muscle. We talked about this one before. Yeah, but there's a muscle right inside that gets stimulated and you feel like you have to poop. So she goes past that. You know what I mean? So, because else you're just...
Yeah.
I swear to God, the first one, I thought I was going to just, like, explode crap all over her wall. It was so, like, the pressure. But I have a problem, so this is why I'm doing this. And so it was really uncomfortable the first time. And then I did a coffee enema first. So it was weird because she just brews the coffee in a coffee pot and then cools it down, and it gets poured into you, and it's just so interesting. It goes into
what does that feel like?
Well, the same feeling that it feels like when the water is going up. It's almost like your inside body is a balloon. I mean, because
yeah,
you
but
feel.
People do drugs that way because that tissue
yes.
is so. So did you just get like an immediate caffeine high?
No, I didn't. But what happens is you hold. So they put it in and then you hold it because they don't take it out of you or let it come out of you. And it's supposed to be extremely good for your liver, helping your liver to process. And they say that it cycles every 3 to 4 minutes. Between the colon and the whatever your liver does with it. So they want you to hold it in for, you know, at least 2 or 3 cycles if you can before they release it. And it's not like when they release it, they just open the tube back up so that it can flow back out. It's not like there's a suction.
So then when they take the tube out, do you just poop like a mother?
Well, yeah, you feel like you're going to spill out anywhere. But when it was all said and done, you get up and go use the restroom. And now my concern was that once you use the restroom, are you going to have, like, these emergency things for the rest of the afternoon where you're just going to feel like, and you don't. You empty. And then, but I went 2 days back to back, and I was supposed to go 3 days. So the second day, I had the coffee enema, the regular colonic, and then I had chlorophyll, just chlorophyll that you can get from Whole Foods. I had chlorophyll put in because it's supposed to help with something else. And that was interesting because it's green. So later on that evening, it was just, like, green stuff coming out. So it's been really interesting. And then I was supposed to go back a third day, but I had taken the supplement that she gave me, and I was now just, like, pooping like crazy. And I went back that Wednesday, and I just said, I think my system's a little, like, done for the moment.
Yeah.
And she agreed. And she said, okay, why don't we just do it next week? And I did it last week, and it was easier. Both times, and she's like, your stomach's getting softer. So there's a process, you know. And we all have parasites in our colon. But she's like, you're experiencing some heavy parasites. So I'm doing the probiotics and all this stuff. So it's really interesting. But I'm going to be doing at least 10. I didn't do this
week. Do you feel a difference?
I don't feel as bloated. I don't feel like I'm holding as much.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so it's been interesting. But I don't feel like a difference yet. Like, it hasn't changed my system. I think it's a process. But, you know, it was, so I do recommend it. I actually really recommend it for anybody. I looked at her colon chart, and they align, you know, like reflexology, they align certain organs to certain aspects of your colon. So, and again, going back to coming full circle.
With acupuncture, yeah.
You know, people think it's bullshit, and other people really believe in it. So,
yeah.
I mean, like I told you when we started this, I have a friend who has diverticulitis. And he does it once a month, and he swears by it. He thinks.
Yeah, but I could totally understand it for somebody with diverticulitis, because the whole point about diverticulitis is that it's food and particles and stuff get stuck up
sure.
in folds, and this is probably rinsing it all out.
Yeah, but I think just in general, because we have so much processed food and pesticides on our food, I don't think it's a bad thing for anybody.
Yeah.
So, hey, on that note, another shitty end to our great show. Thanks for listening, guys.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I will say I'll leave this on this.
What?
I was having a conversation. I never, ever, ever thought that I would use a word of the week that we have done on the
show.
What
did you say?
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about. Oh, he was massaging me. It's my massage friend, and he was getting all my business again because my adductors are really tight. And I said, "Oh, sure." I don't want you getting your hand down there near my, because what if you, I said, have you ever worked on anyone and then you got your hand stuck in their duck butter? And he said, what? And I said,
I thought he was the one who told you about duck butter.
No.
That's disgusting.
He didn't tell me about duck butter.
You're a pig.
So then he's like, what's duck butter? And I go, look it up. And he looked up, he's like, oh my God, this is so gross. Oh my God.
Has he ever experienced duck butter when massaging down there?
No. So just a reminder for folks who missed that episode, duck butter is...
Do we need
yeah.
to, really?
It's
look it up.
Fecal
Google
matter,
it.
Sperm, sweat, secretions of the body that get stuck for men and or women, but for men between their balls and their a-hole, and for women in the tainty area. So there you go. Yuck, duck butter. Yuck.
Hang on, I stopped listening for a minute.
And people call it, you know what, it has a short...
I had to unplug because that, that was the episode that was so...
It is gross.
Like, viscerally disgusting to me listening to that.
Some people just call it DB.
It again. We could have just said, Google it, like those McDonald's commercials where they don't tell you they're from McDonald's, and Mindy Kaling just goes, you know that place where Coke is the best, where everyone said Coke takes the best? Google that real quick. Google it. It'll tell you. Yeah, that place.
Okay, well, you can call it DB.
And they don't actually tell you? We could have said the same thing. Google it, DB.
All right, on that note, like I said, we really appreciate you guys listening to us, and we hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. I need someone who's clean with a dirty mind.